rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
In the letter of James, we hear, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Lord God, knowing that when problems come into our lives, even here, it is part of the package that is life. So when they come, let us seek you and follow the path that you have chosen, knowing that you will sustain us and not abandon us, but be kept truly in your heart. So grant us patience and strength and help us to remain faithful. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
A quorum, Senator from Saline. A quorum, Senator from the 7th. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 67th.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The reading is dispensed with. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Missouri.
Senator, may the chair inquire of you?
Yes.
Did you notice the former senator from Green is here on your left?
Oh, I had not noticed that.
Nice to welcome her back.
It is good to see the former senator from Green in the chamber this morning. Hope she is doing well. Mr. President, might I say you don't look a day over 57.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President?
Senator.
Missouri News Horizon has been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. Would you ask the Secretary of the Senate if we have messages from the House? And if we do, would you please have those read?
Affirmative. Read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with the like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 60 as amended: Representatives Cox, Elmer, Barnes, Kelly of the 24th, and Carlson. Also, the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 26 and 106, an act relating to specialized license plates, with House Amendments 1, 2, and 3, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Also, the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 36, emergency clause adopted. Also, the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 356 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, The Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 356 as amended. Representatives Lehner, Shad, Wright, Holzman, and Harris. Also, the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 117 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, the Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 117 as amended. Representatives Flanagan, Keeney, Fitzwater, Hummel, and Kelly of the 24th. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator.
Mr. President, do you have, would you ask the Secretary if there are conferees to read in?
There are conferees. Read the conferees.
Conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute 2 for Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 117 as amended. Senators Engler, Crowell, Schmidt, Justice, and Chappelle Nadal. Also, House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 356 as amended. Senators Munslinger, Parson, Brown, Callahan, and Justice.
Senator from the 11th. Does the senator yield? He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, were you born in a hospital?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay. Did a doctor deliver you?
Yes.
Well, you know, we have rare opportunities in the Senate. I didn't know if you knew, but happened to be standing over there is a doctor from my district, Dr. Donald Potts, and I've known him. It's been my honor to know him for the last three decades, and he's a very distinguished physician, and I know that you and I value physicians and doctors of the day, because when you and I were born, we had the doctor that day, and that's why we're here. So I didn't know if you knew that, but I just wanted to.
Always happy when the doctor shows up when needed.
And as you know, in the rule, you know, we're beyond the time to introduce guests, but I just wanted to ask you if you were born in a hospital, if you were delivered by a doctor. So thank you, Senator.
Oh, thank you.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, we'll go to the order of business of concurrent resolutions.
Concurrent resolutions.
I ask you to recognize the senator from the 5th.
Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have before you, I move the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution Number 37, and I ask that it be taken up for adoption.
You have heard the motion. Does any, as many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is before.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a companion resolution to one I had before this body on Diabetic Peripheral Neuropathy Week. We're asking the governor to establish the third week of June as Diabetic Neuropathy Peripheral Week. Of course, many, many of our citizens, family members, and friends are impacted with diabetes, and it has a very profound effect on the health of the individual, the family, and even the economy to some degree. The increase of amputations has occurred. We're talking 40% to 60% of lower extremity amputations occur because of extreme DPN, as it is known. And if there are no questions, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The senator renews her motion on adoption of the concurrent resolution. Third reading. Call the roll.
House Concurrent Resolution 37, a concurrent resolution relating to the recognition of every third week in June as Diabetic Peripheral Neuropathy Week. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves. Parson.
Where are you from?
Pierce.
Aye.
Ferguson.
Aye.
Richard. Ridgway. Roop. Schaff. Schaefer. Schmidt. Stouffer. Lawson. Wright Jones.
Senator from Cole. Senator from Christian. Senator from the 24th. Senator from Boone. Senator from Lawrence. Senator from the 2nd. Senator from St. Francis. Oh, Senator from the 15th. Senator from Cape Girardeau. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, you have third read and finally passed HCR 37. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's stay on that calendar. Ask you to recognize the senator from Green.
Oh, great. Thank you. Senator from Green.
President, I move that we take up and pass HCR 23, that it be brought before the body for consideration.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution reflects a long discussion between folks that are legitimately very concerned about pedestrian and bicycle pathways. And the Department of Transportation, and it reflects a good.
It's getting rather loud here on the Senate floor. Could we please turn the volume down or take your conversations to the side or back gallery? Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President, for taking care of all of the peripaquacious discussions there. Appreciate that. Again, this reflects I believe a good compromise, and it does not have any mandates in it, but it does express the need to give consideration, and I think it will take care of the concerns that have been raised by the folks in the pedestrian community. So with that, I would renew my motion. I would answer any questions. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
The senator from Green moves the adoption of House Committee substitute for HCR 23. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Green moves that House Committee substitute for House Committee or for HCR 23 be third read and finally passed.
Be adopted.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Lawson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 8th. Senator from the 10th. Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from the 15th. By your vote of 31 aye, 1 no, you have adopted HCR 23. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the informal calendar. House Bill 484 from the Senator from Saline.
Seeing no objection, we will go on the informal calendar. House bills for third reading. House Bill 44, Senator from Saline. I'm sorry, 484. 484.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill 484 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I now move that House Bill 484 be third read and finally passed. All this bill codifies the way MoDOT handles pass-through money for transit. And it's what we're doing now. But, for instance, during the stimulus bill, there was money that came through to buy buses for Oaks and that sort of thing. This passes through. This just codifies it and makes it formal. Be glad to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Anything about billboards in there?
Nothing about billboards, Senator.
All right, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Stay tuned.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from
Saline. Senator
Saline.
From Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
I'm sorry, Senator. I was looking at something else. 484, is there anything on this other than the transit assistance program?
That and billboards.
I already heard your billboard answer. You and I are fine on billboards. We've got our issues worked out.
We're getting close.
Okay, but that's all that's on this bill still? Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise? Senator, could you please repeat that?
To inquire the senator from Saline.
Do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, Senator. So this is a transportation bill that deals with, I just heard you say, stimulus money.
From time to time, there's federal money that passes through MoDOT to go to the transit system. This just formalizes the procedure that we're already doing, just codifies what we're already doing in MoDOT.
And what falls within transit authority?
Buses, light rail, what have you.
Light rail. So what would that
for
be?
Instance,
like Amtrak?
No.
No.
Well,
what's light rail then?
Metrolink? Metrolink. The bus ATA in Kansas City, Oates, those type of,
Okay. All right.
There's no spending authority, anything like that. It just codifies the structure.
I'm not banning red light cameras, are
I? No red light cameras.
No. Would that fit on here?
I don't think so. It's pretty tight, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Saline moves that House Bill 484 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Bill 484, an act relating to the Missouri State Transit Assistance Program. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. The junior senator from St. Charles. Lawrence. Senator from Saline. How do you vote? Senator from St. Francis. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, you have third read and finally passed House Bill 484. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tallying perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. We will stay on that calendar. House Bill 667.
Staying on the same calendar, House Bill 667, the senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 667 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you. This is a companion bill to the one I did earlier about prostate cancer. It's establishing pilot programs in a rural area and in an urban area to look at uninsured and underinsured men between the ages of 35 and 60 to see where we can create a synergy where they can be treated and followed and create a situation where we're trying to reduce the amount of prostate cancer and catch it before it really has an impact on our families. Similarly to any breast cancer type things, it has a scourge, and we're trying to push that back, Mr. President. And with that, if there are no questions, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 5th.
Do you yield?
Yes.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, I'm very glad that you are sponsoring this legislation. I know that your bill that was in the House had something that happened, and we were able at the very last minute to pass this out of the Health Committee. So I'm glad that it's on the floor now, because this is an important issue that needs to be addressed. And there's so many people that are in our lives who have been impacted by this. So congratulations to you and as well as the representative in the House that sponsored it. So congrats.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the Senator from the 5th.
Senator, yes. Do you yield?
Yes, I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
You look lovely.
Thank you. So do you. Well, I guess lovely is not a word.
Lovely's okay.
Okay, that's okay.
Is there a fiscal note on this, Senator?
No, there isn't, because we're looking for private funds for it. What we're doing now is just laying it in statute so that at such time the state may become able to fund something, it's already there.
So it's subject appropriation, but you're thinking there won't be GR dollars, it'll be private funds?
It'll be private funding. We are seeking private funding.
Okay, good. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from the 5th moves that House Bill 667 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Bill 667, an act relating to the prostate cancer pilot program. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones,
Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Atchison. Senator from Stoddard. Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from the First. St. Francis. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, so we'll go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the formal calendar.
Hearing no objection, the formal calendar, House bills on third reading. House Bill 213, Senator from Stoddard. Senator from the 23rd.
President, would you place that on the informal calendar?
That will be placed on the informal calendar. Just go down that calendar. House Bills 223 and 231, the Senator from Cape Girardeau.
President, I move that House Bills numbers 223 and 231 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee substitute for House Bills numbers 223 and 231 be read a third time and put upon their final passage. Mr. President, this is the actual bill, the House member that had it offered as an amendment in the Senator from Christian's legislation yesterday was at 323 or whatever. The omnibus, one of those Senator from Christian has passed so many bills, they've all blurred together. But this was the issue that we had with the amendment. This has already been truly agreed and on the governor's desk. Representative Wallingford introduced this idea, got it in as an amendment. We've got a couple of minutes, so it's just trying to get him his bill across the finish line. What this does, subject to appropriations, allows the Department of Education to make available Advanced Placement Initiative grant of $500 to any student that is deemed to need financial assistance and resources. This is going to be funded through the Department of Nursing. The Department of Nursing has agreed to take out of their funds $3 million over a three-year period, so $1 million a year. This is already in the budget. The Senator from Boone budgeted this money in spending authority. And what we are basically doing is we are taking the nursing funds that they have consented to and setting up the mechanism whereby this nursing education incentive program can be established and administered by the Department of Higher Education in a hope to address the nursing shortages that are out there. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to go back to, I heard your explanation, but could you go over the incent part? You said $500. What?
Yes.
I mean, would you go over what
right.
specifically the incentive to the student is and what it does for them?
Right. Basically, it's subject to appropriations, and the appropriation authority has already been granted for this fiscal year. It was in the budget. The substitute requires the Department of Higher Education to make available a non-renewable advanced placement incentive grant of $500 to any recipient of financial aid under the A-plus schools or Access Missouri programs if the recipient received a score of 3 or higher on 2 advanced placement examinations in mathematics or science while attending Missouri public schools. So that's not the nursing part. That's the higher education $500 bonus, if you will, to access Missouri and A-plus schools. The second component is the Nursing Education Incentive Program. This is the thing that is also budgeted in using the nursing money. The Board of Nursing will be in a position to provide funding for the program, subject to appropriations with their own money, to the Department of Higher Education that can award grants to higher education institutions of not more than $150,000 per year to eligible higher education institution based on criteria and an application format that they will have to help open up slots in the nursing field. So your higher education institutions will apply to the Board of Nursing and Higher Ed for one of these $150,000 grants to try to get greater access to nursing.
So if so, the $150,000 would go to the university or the higher
ed? To hire staff, to open up slots.
Okay.
To do, my hope really is where we have a critical shortage is clinical. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to use some of these in the higher education to open up clinical experience, because anyone that becomes a nurse has to have a sufficient number of clinical on the job training, if you will.
And the $150,000 grant, not to exceed 150, is a total pot of $1 million?
Yes. What the Board of Nursing, this is not GR, okay?
Right.
The Board of Nursing charges a fee to be the nurse, be a nurse in the state of Missouri. And what the higher education community and the nursing board have come up with is there's excess funds,
right,
from the assessment of that fee. And they have said, we as nurses want to help future nurses. This is how we want to do it. So no GR. They're taking their fees, putting it in a pot of money, and saying, we will award grants. We've earmarked $3 million for this purpose, $1 million for the next 3 years. So these grants will probably be, here's $150,000 this year, $150,000 next year, $150,000 the third year.
To either create a new program or expand a current program.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Yes.
Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
You don't have anything against homeschoolers, do you?
I'm sorry?
You don't have anything against homeschoolers, do you?
Homeschoolers?
Homeschoolers.
I can't hear you, Senator.
There. Maybe my mic is not working.
There
can we
go.
Please have some
now
order? Turn the volume down so our two senators can hear each other in debate. Proceed, Senator.
No, your bill would lock out homeschoolers because it says while attending a Missouri public high school.
Right.
And so I'd like to offer up an amendment to take out those words.
Well, Senator, I mean, be happy to entertain your amendment, but this is already truly agreed to language and on the governor's desk.
Well, maybe if we pass it, you know, with the amendment, then he would veto one of the
bills. Well, but homeschoolers aren't open to the A-plus.
Well, but it doesn't say that they have to. It says that they receive an award under the Access Missouri Financial Assistance Program or the A-plus schools program. And,
well,
see, the thing about it is...
Senator, I'm fine with you offering an amendment. I'm going to be against it. What I'm trying to do, quite frankly, is just truly agree this, because we've already passed this language. And as everyone knows, freshman reps want to pass their own bill. So all I'm trying to do, this is already going to be law. It's already crossed the finish line, and all I'm trying to do is get this rep on the other end of the building his own bill so he can say he passed the bill. That's the only reason I'm here.
So this has already been truly agreed?
Yes. It was done on the Senator from Christian's legislation yesterday.
To tell you the truth, it slipped by me, or I would have offered the amendment there.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Talk to you for a minute about it anyway.
Senator, I'd be happy to work with you next year if you want to amend this or something.
You know, I mean, somebody's got to look out for the homeschool students, you know, and we pass these bills and we say, you know, while attending a Missouri public high school, this just means that there are a set of Missourians who are locked out of this financial aid. I mean, it's nice to give
Well, they're not locked out. They choose to be homeschoolers.
Well, but I mean, no one forces that, you know, education isn't the you know, exclusive purview of the government.
I didn't say it was.
Homeschooled kids that want to go into nursing ought to be able to get the $500 award. And so I just, you know, in right. the future, I just hope that we, you know, we look out for them, too.
I think you'll have plenty of opportunity to be the homeschooler champion.
Well, you know, I guess I am. My kids were homeschooled through eighth grade.
I'm with you. And I'm with you. More power to you.
Well, anyway, since I didn't realize that it was already truly agreed yesterday,
sure.
I missed my opportunity. I won't offer my amendment.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Good Senator.
Yes, sir.
Did my ears fail me?
What's that?
You are acting in a benevolent manner to help legislation be passed.
Shocking. Shocking. Shocking.
Has anyone taken your temperature today?
It's a little hot.
Did you
it's
you
a little
handled
hot,
a nursing something to do with nurses a few minutes ago? Or were you
no.
talking about something?
That was on the Senator from Christian's legislation yesterday.
Okay, yeah. Well, so, I was just wondering, the doctor of the day is here. I
nice.
Think someone said the doctor of the day is here. Perhaps they could check your
Probably, but the last time the doctor of the day tried to check for a pulse, he couldn't find one.
Or a heartbeat.
Or a heartbeat.
Well, and the senator from the 5th just passed that legislation concerning prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Don't ask him to check
your cancer. Cancer's scared of me.
Yeah. So you are actually helping a freshman rep to get a piece of legislation.
Pains
passed.
Me to no end.
I'm going to have to look at you through a different set of lenses,
yeah.
I think.
It pains me to no end. Don't tell anybody.
I don't know whether to be proud
don't
of you or
anybody.
Ashamed of you.
Don't tell anybody.
All right. We'll keep it'll be our little secret.
Our little secret. Right. I appreciate
Thank you, Mr.
it.
President.
Yeah.
Further discussion. Senator from Atchison, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He does proceed.
Senator, you're here talking about the great school children of the state, and I knew that you
Senator from Cole, do not interrupt the senators as they are debating. Senator, proceed.
I don't know how many times the senator from Cole is going to be gaveled down before he learns, but at some point we're going to have to begin
I still think it's therapy. Ironic that the chief rule breaker gavels anyone.
No, it's unbelievable that the president in the chair, the gentleman in the chair, although I'm not sure we call him a gentleman, the senator in the chair is actually...
No gentleman in the Senate, we are senators.
Especially in the chair, I understand, Mr. President. Speaking of school groups, I knew that you would find it interesting to know in the upper gallery right now, a group that got up this morning and made the journey down here from Tri-County. They're down here, and they probably don't know, in the last 31 hours of the 2011 legislative session, watching the upper chamber in action today, and as a guy who always committed to making sure that the school children that come down here know what we're doing, I wanted you to understand that they were up there watching.
Are they right here?
They are right here.
Do you think there's anybody in there that likes math and science? Anybody that likes math and science up there?
The only ones raising their hands are the teachers. So I'm not sure. But we
anyone
guys...
want to be a nurse? Anyone want to be a nurse up there? Because we're actually talking about legislation that'll help... try to help support people that are in math and science or want to be a nurse. And I bet you there's probably a nurse or an aerospace engineer or math and science, maybe even an astronaut in that group up there.
I will tell.
Their head.
Senator, thank you. I just wanted to point out that those great students are here, and
nice.
I appreciate the time.
Nice.
Mr.
They
President,
have, to get, up, they have
that?
To get up early from your neck of the woods and my neck of the woods to make it to the Capitol before 10 a.m.
That's right. We're in the far northern part, and you are down in the far southern part.
Right.
And so to come visit us is a real commitment, and we are glad they're here today.
Absolutely. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator.
Welcome.
Mr. President.
Senator from Grundy.
I'm finished. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
I have a brief inquiry of the Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He does proceed.
Senator, thanks. This sounds like a great idea. I'm just curious on the nursing education incentive program within the Department of Higher Education. The University of Missouri, Kansas City, in our backyard has started an accelerated nursing degree program for people who already have their bachelor's degree but want to go back to get a BSN. It's about an 18-month program, so it's a rapid program for somebody to get nursing. there's been some issues whether or not they are going to continue to segregate the funding or have the funding to continue that accelerated program. Is this something that UMKC could apply for?
Yes.
Do you know? It is?
Okay. Yes. So they would apply to both the Board of Nursing and CBHE.
Okay.
They would lay out, based upon the guidelines of what they're trying to accomplish. And all this really does is it allows a mechanism, instead of us using general revenue, the nursing community that pays the fee, like you and I pay the Missouri Bar to
fees.
Be a lawyer.
Yeah.
There's leftover money.
Okay.
And the nurses have said, with this leftover money, and instead of just it's sitting in our checking account for all of this stuff, we would like to step up, and our commitment right. in stepping up is $3 million, $1 million a year for 3 years to help do these incentives to
Perfect.
Meet additional slots in the nursing field through these grants to educational institutions.
Perfect.
So each grant will be capped at $150,000, and then, you know, you'll have an application period, and the demand is so great there for nursing that the hope is that we're going to be able to use nurses' money
right.
to create more nurses.
I think it's a great idea, and you said it's already been trulied on another bill?
The senator from Christians yesterday, the one that I messed up and made him do all his reconsideration motions, and then the senator from the second caught him saying he objected, and the senator from Christian then had to make the other reconsideration motion on the vote by which the bill was passed.
Well,
so it's kind of funny. That's what we were all laughing
at. At least
it was on that bill.
At least he did. At least there was another person presiding yesterday, me, and he just wandered off in the middle of presenting his bill.
I know the senator forgot to close, forgot to do anything else. It's like he got done, and it's like he's riding a bull.
I
know. He's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. You know, and
he wandered
just,
out.
Like 8 seconds, and I'm done.
I thought so. I was gonna. You know, we're gonna have to get a rope. You know, haul him back in here, some duct tape or something, and put him, stick him in his chair.
And then he comes wandering back in from this door, and I think his office is over there. I mean, he's everywhere.
He's going to go down the house and try to pass a bill down there.
Yeah, he may be handling another bill. Has he got any more bills?
For electronic monitoring.
Yeah, he's got an anklet on so we can follow him.
Senator, he doesn't need an anklet. If he keeps behaving the way that he did yesterday by wandering off in the middle of presenting a bill, we're going to have to put a shock collar on him.
So, well, yeah, we could put one of them electronic fences around his desk so he can't wander off anymore.
I like it. If he wanders out of it, bang, gets popped. Well, okay, Senator, I appreciate it. I'm sure we're going to continue to have fun at the expense of the senator from Christian. And
man,
I
he is just a legislative machine. You
he
know,
is.
we served with a guy named Craig Hosmer.
I remember that.
And Craig Hosmer, I remember I went into his office one time, and that guy had so many bills framed, an entire wall. There must have been 50 bills framed that were up there.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
If the senator from Christian started doing that, he'd have to put his legislation in other people's offices.
That's true. He couldn't get
he
in his office.
Because he is a machine.
I look
and
at
in
it
the
this
hall.
Way. He has used up his word count for the whole year. He's done.
Sir, I'm going to introduce a bill next year. Instead of the statutes
yeah.
being called the Missouri Revised Statutes.
Call them the Wassons.
Ooh.
Senator from Clay, we do not refer to senators' names on the floor.
I was referring to the statutes, Mr. President.
Senator from Clay, we do not use senators' names on the floor. Proceed.
I would call him the senator from Christian's Red Book.
I like that.
Yeah. So.
And so he's partly responsible for why that in 1959 we only had 4 Red Books, and now we've got 20-some.
He's a machine.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from Cape Girardeau, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The Senator from Cape Girardau moves that the House Committee substitute for House Bills 223 and 231 be placed upon its final passage. Read a third time. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee substitute for House Bills 223 and 231, an act relating to higher education financial assistance programs. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 8th. Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 22nd. Senator from Mercer. Senator from the 1st, could you please repeat your vote? Give me just a minute. By your vote of 33 aye, 1 no, you have third read and finally passed House Bills 223 and 231. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize the senator from Boone on a privilege motion?
Senator from Boone, you are recognized for a privilege motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Amendments 1 and 2 for Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 70 be taken up, be brought before the body for third read and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Amendment 1 be adopted. This underlying bill, Senate Bill 70, is the Missouri Family Trust Act. It's the updates to the Missouri Family Trust Act, which we passed out of here. They put two amendments on it. House Amendment 1 is the MHDC language requiring the executive director to be subject to Senate confirmation. That's the language we passed out of here on multiple bills. That's House Amendment 1, and I'm seeking right now that we adopt House Amendment 1.
The senator from Boone moves the adoption of House Amendment 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, you said House Amendment 1 to Senate Bill 70, is that right?
Yes. Well, it's Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 70.
Is House Amendment 1 contained within the Senate substitute, or is it should it be a separate piece
no,
of paper?
No, it should be a separate amendment from the House. It's a House amendment.
I do not have that.
I believe it was distributed yesterday.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I think the senator from the 11th has an inquiry of you, so I'm going to busy myself with tracking down a copy of that amendment while he is inquiring of you, assuming he is actually going to inquire of you. So I'm kind of generally looking at the senator from the 11th to see if he's going to inquire, or is he just going to stretch his arms?
I think he's stretching his arms.
I think he's preparing to inquire, so that will give me an opportunity to track down the amendment.
I think he's doing a Richard Nixon impersonation, maybe. I
think he's whose impersonation is this?
Do one of these, maybe.
He is impersonating somebody. I just forgot who. It's too early in the morning. Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
Briefly of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, you yield?
Yes,
he
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I heard the discussion you had with Senator from Clay. Actually, I just wanted to kind of, there was a little bit of noise on House Amendment 1. Can you just kind of, just real briefly, just, okay, this bill, we haven't passed this bill yet, have we?
Yeah, we passed the bill. We passed, which is the updates to the Missouri Family Trust Act. What they did in the House, they put two amendments on. Amendment 1, which we're on right now, is that MHDC language requiring the executive director to come before the Senate for advice and consent after they're appointed by the governor. And we passed that out on several things.
Right. Yes. And MHDCC chairman now is appointed by whom and how? They don't come for confirmation?
No, they don't, because they're actually appointed now by the board, and they would be actually appointed under the language by the governor and be subject to Senate confirmation.
And the board is appointed by the governor all, that, right?
Is that's that
right?
Correct, yep. Mm-hmm.
And they themselves come for confirmation, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay, all right. And then the base bill is just the standard updates, exactly the same as what we passed previously in other bills?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and then what's the second House amendment?
The second amendment, which I'm going to, when we get done with this, ask for a conference on, that's the language giving the Attorney General the ability and defining the scope of what he can do with hiring outside counsel. And what happened
in House... Is that similar to what the Senator...
It is similar, but
Lewis had?
We had agreed upon language that passed out of here. The House language in House Amendment 2 is not exactly the language that we had. So I'm going to be, as soon as we get done with House Amendment 1, I'm going to seek a conference on House Amendment 2 so we can clear up that language, so we don't have inconsistent.
I can't ask you how you vote, but what do you think about extending that authority to the AG as far as hiring outside counsel?
Well, I agree with it. I think what we passed out of here was good language.
Because you worked in the AG's office.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are circumstances when the AG needs to hire outside counsel. I think that what that language does, it provides greater transparency and sets parameters where it's very ambiguous now. But also, it gives some cover to the AG, because I think now there's some apprehension on part of the AG to hire outside counsel because it is kind of ambiguous. And I think, frankly, it helps the AG to have that language to say, General Assembly set the parameters, and here's what I'm doing.
Well, I'm kind of shocked that the AG would be constantly looking for political cover, I'm amazed. Anyway, well, I'm shocked. Okay, you're going to conference on two.
Well, actually,
and so are we going to go back to what the senator from Lewis proposed earlier? Or
actually, I'm going to withdraw my motion because something has just come up. I'm going to withdraw my motion, and I'm going to seek to go to conference on the whole thing.
I'm sorry, say again.
I'm going to withdraw my motion for adoption of the amendment. I'm going to make a motion to go to conference on the whole thing.
Okay. I trust your legal judgment. And you worked in the AG's office. I just want to have some transparency and some tight controls on that authority that we're potentially granting to the AG. It may make all the sense in the world, but I don't want them just to, turn it into. And I would assume we would have, Sarah, one last point. I assume from a budgetary standpoint, we would have some control there as well.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Okay. But there are times where, depending on the nature of the case, the duration, the expertise required, and how much, how many hours it'll take.
Ideally,
there are times that it is much more cost-effective for the citizens of the state of Missouri for the AG to bring
in. I get that part. I just wonder if we couldn't get to the point where they sort of have to come to us with the authority to say what it's for, who they're hiring, and all of that at a budgetary level. Thank you, Senator.
Good point. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Boone.
I'm going to withdraw my motion seeking adoption of House Amendment 1.
Madam Secretary, please send that amendment back.
I'm just stating that I'm taking back that motion. And, Mr. President, I'm now going to move that the Senate refuse to concur in House Amendments 1 and 2 to Senate substitute, to Senate committee substitute, to Senate Bill 70, and request the House to recede from its position or, failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Grundy, for what purpose do you rise? Senator from the first, for what purpose do you rise?
Could I inquire the senator from Boone?
Senator from Boone, do you yield? He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. So the second amendment that you just referenced with the senator from the 11th that deals with the AG's office. Now, what type of leeway does that give the AG's office, or flexibility as far as hiring or contracting outside counsel? Why don't you move your mic up, Senator? I can't hear you.
Turned up because it's pretty.
Oh, there we go.
Close there.
Yeah, it wasn't turned on.
There we go.
There we go. Good. Good.
The language is it's the language that we passed out of here already, I believe, on the Senator from Lewis's bill.
Okay. And what does it do? It codifies in statute some
authority. Yeah, the language is in there.
He currently doesn't have?
Or? It sets the parameter. Well, arguably, he does have the authority to do it right now.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's clear from the tobacco litigation.
Does this broaden the authority?
No, in my opinion, it narrows it.
It narrows the authority?
Staff members are required to wear jackets when they're on the Senate chamber.
Oh! Oh, my. Senator from 5th might have to be doing some staff changes, you know, later in the day. Senator, okay, so I guess my question would be, and I guess it's within the AG's power to determine whether he should seek outside counsel.
Correct.
Okay. Give me an example of, I know they did that like for the tobacco settlement deal, right?
That would be a good example.
Yeah. Where there was somebody with more expertise.
Yeah, I seem to recall that on the litigation involving the funding formula that the AG hired outside counsel.
Okay. Would this be something maybe in the future that we might, maybe my Committee on Government Accountability, would look at maybe contracting all of the attorneys in the AG's office? Just so we just got to, you know, we got the figurehead of the AG there, all right? And then we get rid of all the attorneys that work for the AG's office and then just contract it all out. What do you think about that idea?
I don't think that'd be practical, Senator.
Why not? I'm just curious. I mean, I just thought...
Because
we can contract some.
Well, I'll give you a good example. One thing that's required in the language that we passed out of here is that it be perfectly clear that, for example, on settlement discussions or agreements, that actually a state attorney constantly have authority over the outside counsel. Because I think what you want to do is make sure that it's somebody that actually is hired and works for the AG, somebody whose title is either deputy AG, assistant AG, or the AG himself,
right,
actually is accountable for the decisions being made. Because if you don't have that, you can get into situations which arose, I know, in some other states, where it became questionable as to who had the legal authority to agree to a settlement and things like that.
Sure.
The actual attorney who is a state employee and directly accountable to the elected official, or somebody who's hired on a contract basis on the outside.
Okay.
And so that's why, you know...
If you had the hierarchy, within the AG's office that would have that oversight and that responsibility for those decisions, couldn't they do that over, you know, the contract? How many lawyers do we have in the AG's office?
You know, I don't know the exact number. I suspect it's around 120 statewide.
I think it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah. It used to be right around between 110, 120 a couple years ago when I was still involved with them. If they have more now, I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, just a thought. So it might be something we can look at in the future as far as...
You raise a good point, and I think the issue would be cost effectiveness. Because I will tell you, you know, as a general proposition, the assistant AGs aren't getting paid what attorneys in private practice are getting paid.
Right.
And also, they don't have the same overhead that law firms have and other things. So again, I think it would be based on cost effectiveness, but as long as it was cost effective, you raise a good point.
But you know what? You know, those guys in the private sector are probably a lot better attorneys, don't you think?
Oh, I think there's some very fine attorneys at the Attorney General's office. I tell you, when I was there for 4 years, I worked with some great lawyers.
Maybe we'd win more cases if we had, if we contracted.
They win a lot of.
And then the bottom line, it might work out, come out in the wash.
Well, we'd have to look into that.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Seeing none. Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the... Do we talk about this, or do you already tell me? To inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, it's my understanding that you amended your motion, so you're going to conference on all issues?
Yes.
Okay, and I don't know if you've had this discussion, but that Missouri Housing Development Corporation language, it's gone. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Boone moves that the Senate refuse to concur in Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 70 and requests the House to recede from its position or failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the informal calendar.
Seeing no objection, we will go to House bills for third reading on the informal calendar.
Ask you to recognize the senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House committee substitute for House bill number 213 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute, and I move for the adoption of that substitute.
Please send the substitute forward.
Hey, Mitch, has that been distributed? Mr. President, the substitute has been distributed and should be on the desk of each member.
Senator moves the adoption of the Senate substitute. Would you care to explain the substitute?
Certainly, Mr. President. The substitute basically implements the changes that we made here in the Senate on Senate Bill 65, the bill that I sponsored. And this substitute does just exactly what 65 does. It amends the definition of abortion to include the use of prescribing any medicine, instrument, or devices with the intent to destroy the life of an unborn child. It also includes the act of terminating a pregnancy with an intent other than to increase the probability of a live birth, remove a dead or dying unborn child, or to treat a maternal disease or illness for which the prescribed drug is indicated. Also, the description of viability goes back to the current definition that is located in 188.015 of the Missouri statutes. This act, should it pass, would make an abortion of a viable unborn child illegal unless the mother's life is endangered by carrying the child. The act requires the performing physician to determine the gestational age of the child, and if the age of the child is 20 weeks or more and it's determined that the child is viable, the child cannot be aborted unless the woman will develop a life-endangering condition by carrying the child. There's also requirements if the gestational age of the child is 20 weeks or more and viable that the performing physician must obtain from a second physician who has knowledge of obstetrical and neonatal practices and standards. That physician must agree that the abortion is necessary to preserve the life of the mother or prevent a serious physical impairment. And we did make the amendment that was required or requested of us that the second physician must not have any legal or financial affiliation with the performing physician unless said relationship as a result of being employed or having staff privileges at the same hospital. Also, if the child is not viable at 20 weeks and the performing physician performs the abortion, he or she must present his or her determinations to the health care facility where the abortion was carried out and to the State Board of Registration of Healing Arts, and the findings will also be placed in the woman's medical file as well as a report submitted to the Department of Health and Senior Services. And there's penalty provisions in the measure, just like Senate Bill 65, whereas if any person knowingly performs or induces an abortion in violation of this act, they shall be imprisoned for no less than 1 year and be fined no less than $10,000, but no more than $50,000. And any doctor found in contempt of this act shall have his or her license suspended for 3 years here in the state of Missouri. Any hospital or ambulatory surgery center found in contempt of this law shall be subject to suspension or revocation of their license. With that, Mr. President, I renew my motion on the adoption of the substitute.
The senator from Stoddard moves the adoption of the Senate substitute. Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to let you know that KRCG-TV's Kermit Miller, the voice of Mid-Missouri, has been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Voice and face. Discussion on the Senate substitute. Is any Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Is the Senate substitute that you're working from 0.05F, as in Frank?
Let me ask Mr. Chairman, or excuse me, Mr. President, would you, I don't have a copy, I don't think, of that
Senators,
substitute with me.
It is 0.05F.
Okay,
it
thank
is.
You. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your working with me on this bill. Thank you, Senator.
Well, I appreciate your work, and it's the exact measure that you and I worked on earlier in the session in SB 65. So thank you, Senator, for your hard work.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Stoddard moves the adoption of the Senate substitute. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that... What's the number on this, Tom? What's the number of that? 213. That House Bill 213 with the Senate substitute be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
I close.
Senator from Stoddard moves that House Committee substitute for House Bill 213 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 213, an act relating to abortion. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kavanaugh, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Phelps. Senator from St. Francis. Senator from Franklin. Senator from Wright. Senator from Clay. Senator from the 7th. Senator from the 1st. By your vote of 28 aye, 5 no, you have third read and finally passed House Bill 213. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd. Same calendar.
Thank you, Mr. President. We will stay on that calendar, House Bill 111.
Staying on that same calendar, House bills on third reading, the informal calendar, House Bill 111, the Senator from Lawrence.
I move that the House Bill 111 be brought before the body for third reading.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate Committee substitute be adopted, and I have a Senate substitute which I would like to send forward.
Please send the Senate substitute forward.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Mr. President, it has been distributed. I'd ask for a waiver of the reading. I move for its adoption. I'd like to explain it.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Would you care to explain your substitute?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. For the members, there is a spreadsheet that has been distributed a day or two ago on this. And this, again, this bill is House Bill 11. 111. The spreadsheet has 10F in parentheses. I think we've only distributed one spreadsheet. This is, what is this year, I guess, the Omnibus Judiciary Bill. I don't care a lot for omnibus bills, so the way I approached this was when the legislation came from the House, I sat down, looked at anything that had passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee prior to that. If something in there had passed out of the Judiciary Committee, was short, and was non-controversial, I was willing to include it in the committee substitute. So there's nothing in this there are no bills included here that do not meet those criteria. I would like to point out that the Senate substitute makes some technical changes to things that were included. In a couple instances, it's to bring, just to keep language consistent with other versions of that same legislation. It didn't change substance. Those changes are highlighted throughout your spreadsheets. And then I'll just walk you through the spreadsheet where those changes from the original Senate committee substitute are. Where we had House committee substitute for House Bill 159 or Senate Bill 387, that's the electronic monitoring language that the senator from Christian has passed. We've been made aware that some federal funds could be in jeopardy if we didn't have certain provisions in there. So we took care of that. Then down on Senate Bill 328, that was a bill that I had allowing boards of directors at meetings to consent in writing and have things happen electronically or remotely. This just clarified that that consent must set forth specifically what actions were taken in the minutes or in the consent. The senator from the 11th had language allowing for transfer of cases that public administrators were taking care of. And I included what I thought was the latest version of his language in the Senate committee substitute. I later became aware that he had worked out some updates to the language with other folks who were interested, so I just updated it in the Senate substitute to reflect his latest position and also be consistent with other vehicles that were moving on that topic. The senator from Cole, working with the senator from the 11th, also had language dealing with sex offenders. The senator from Cole's portion said that before any sex offender could be released on probation or parole, they had to complete the required programs within the prison. The senator from the 11th, I believe, was the one that offered some language dealing with where sex offenders could or could not live, providing that they also could not live near license-exempt child care facilities. There's some concern that those places won't be readily identifiable because they may not have a sign out front. If there's not a license database to go look at, the offender might not know if they're violating that. So there's some updated language there to provide that it has to be, if they're license exempt, if they're the ones that would be subject to the same sort of safety inspections and also holding themselves out, which would imply that a sign of some sort would be present. With that, I'll answer any questions you have rather than just walk through the entire spreadsheet and take time that might not need to be taken. I renew my motion.
Senator renews his motion to adopt the substitute. Is any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from Lawrence?
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
He does proceed.
Senator, I appreciate your work on this legislation.
Thank you.
You are a fine attorney and one that I have great respect for, and I just wanted to let you know that there are probably some other future great attorneys in our upper gallery, and today we have visiting with us the seventh graders from Emmanuel Lutheran, and they're here watching you present your legislation today.
Should have been more interested.
I'm not exactly sure where they are, but if they would raise their hand, there they are, and so you have a captive audience for your legislation.
Well, Senator, while they're here, I'd like to say that in light of the current market, rather than law school, that they should look really hard at medical school.
Medical school.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Senator.
Glad to have you here,
good
Senator.
Luck on your legislation.
Thank
Further
you.
Discussion. Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I know the senator from Lawrence. The senator from Lawrence is a friend of mine. I went to law school with the senator from Lawrence. He's not that good of a lawyer. Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
Now.
Not
yes,
now.
Yes, I yield.
He
just
does.
Kidding, Senator. That's kind of one of the neat things here. I actually went to law school with the senator from the 10th, went to law school with the senator from Lawrence. We ended up in the House. Well, the senator from the 10th is a pure blood. She came straight into the Senate, but the senator from Lawrence and I were elected into the House together and then found ourselves in the Senate together. But we met in a local government class with James Westbrook.
Yep.
And wow, what an adventure that it's been since then. So I wonder if any future attorneys up there, does anybody want to go to law school? There you go. There's one right there. She wants to go to law school. That'll be great. We're glad to have that. So that'll be good. Yeah, how many people want to run for office? And then there's a lot more that want to run for office. That's great. Well, we're glad that you guys are up here and a part of all of that. Senator, on your bill, I want to make sure we're not doing anything with court costs, as you and I know. Is there anything in there that we're doing on court costs?
There is on the electronic monitoring. There is the defendant has to pay for the cost.
Right, I'm fine with that on the electronic monitoring. What we've seen historically is there's a court cost that's kind of going around for a courthouse. There's a court cost going around for paying the prosecutor's retirement.
The Civil Legal Services Fund sunset extension.
Right, we've already worked that out. That's already been worked out with us.
I do not recall any other court costs, and I know I didn't put in any of those.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I just.
Deals.
Yeah, you didn't get a spreadsheet or whatever that was out there, so I just wanted to run that off.
I can't recall any, but I'll make this commitment. If you check with research and I'm answering you incorrectly, we'll talk about it and address
right.
it on the floor.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank
Mr.
you.
President.
Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. I'd like to send it forward.
Send the amendment forward.
It's brief. I ask that it be read, and I move for its adoption.
Senator from Lawrence moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Goodman to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 111, page 44, section 566.147, line 24, by striking, quote, comma, which, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, that, close quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. This is truly a technical amendment, simply offered to bring a provision included in this bill into exact consistency with other versions of it that are floating around as the end of session approaches. We literally change comma which to that, simply so the reviser knows what to print in the books. It has no big secret hidden in it. I move for its adoption.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To just briefly inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Do you yield?
I do yield.
He does proceed.
Page 44?
Yes, ma'am.
What line again?
24. In section 566147.
Oh, you drew the tiny little technical comma which comma that.
Right.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized.
Thank
I'm sorry, Senator from the 4th.
Hi, the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
Senator, we passed a bill out of here, one of my bills, requiring the Condemnation Commission to have one real estate professional on it. It passed out of here, I think, 28-3. I was curious if, I'd like to offer an amendment to include it on this bill. I would like your support for it. She is drafting the amendment as we speak.
If I could look at it, right now we're on my amendment to the bill, so you'd have an
opportunity. Oh, I'm sorry.
We still have an opportunity to speak on that.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment Number 1. For what purpose do you rise, Senator from Clay?
In the second inquiry, the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator, do you yield? He does proceed.
Senator, it sounds like there's some sort of amendment floating around, but that whole section on page 44, is that where the sex offenders then you're adding language in that, in all of that underlying portion there, you said you're adding language that the offender cannot live within 1,000 feet of any public school, private school, any child care facility that's licensed under 210, or any child care facility as defined in section 210-201 that is exempt from state licensure but subject to state regulation and holds itself out to be a child care facility. Okay, so basically, they've got to put the offender on notice that they are a child care facility,
right,
or you can't, or you don't have, or the offender.
Right. My concern with this throughout session has been that we'd have an offender who had no way of knowing that in one of the homes in the community there was someone providing child care for a few kids. There was no sign.
Right.
If they are required to hold themselves out, I think addresses that.
And I think that's fair because although, you know,
I
expressed yesterday, I would probably suspend the Constitution and go straight to Ozark American Justice with some of these folks.
Right.
But nonetheless, we are getting to the point that about the only place that they can live is on an island in the middle of the Mississippi.
Right.
And so I appreciate what you're doing here. If I could just ask you some other questions. You heard some of the conversation that I had with Senator from Boone yesterday about the different offenses and the and with the child endangerment statutes. Is any of that in here?
I don't believe any of that is in this bill, no.
Do we have any more regulation, anything having to do with church-run daycare facilities? Is any of that in here?
No.
Okay. Any of that Jocelyn's Law, Pratt's Law, Megan's Law, everybody else's law?
I don't think there's anything in here named after anyone.
I really like that. Are you sure you don't want to have the Senator from Lawrence license exempt notification law or something like that?
Hopefully all my life I'll be able to live wherever I want to.
I think you probably could.
Yeah.
Maybe not some places.
There may be some neighborhoods that wouldn't let me in, but...
When you get your home in West Palm, I expect an invitation. Okay. Thank
consider
you,
consider it an open invitation.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're working. Yes.
Are we on the amendment, or are we on the underlying bill?
We are on Senate Amendment number 1.
Thank you.
I closed.
Senator from Lawrence closes. All those in favor of Senate Amendment number 1 say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment number 1. Now we are on the Senate substitute for House Bill 111. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I apologize for my prior transgression. I forgot. I didn't realize where we were at the time. So
that's all right. Things move quickly this week.
But hopefully we'll have an amendment out here soon, and it will be, maybe it's being distributed now. We talked about this before, and I would like to offer it on this. Would you be acceptable to the amendment? You should have it in just a second.
You know, I might have been one of those few no votes the first time this went. Tell me again what it does, please.
Just on the Condemnation Commission in St. Louis and Jackson County and St. Louis County, there are three commissioners. This would require one of them to be a real estate professional, either a broker or an appraiser. It's passed out of here 28-3, I believe, and it passed out of committee in the House, and it received a whole bunch of amendments in the House before it came back over. So I'd like to add it to this bill.
And those commissioners are appointed by who?
They're appointed by a circuit judge.
Who could already appoint those folks if they wanted to, right?
That's correct.
My position is I don't see a reason to require that. If you want to offer an amendment, the will of the body will prevail, and I will probably be again one of the three, but you have your prerogatives, and that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I would like to offer
the
amendment.
The 4th.
I would like to offer an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
It is being distributed. I don't have the original yet. Mr. President, may I inquire with the senator from 14?
You still have the floor. Senator from the 14th, do you yield?
Arthur?
Senator from the 14th, okay. Does yield?
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Would you like to withdraw that inquiry?
I would like to withdraw that inquiry. I think there are other amendments coming, and I'll wait till mine's distributed.
Senator, you have not offered your amendment, correct?
That's correct.
Right. Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
The Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, do you yield?
Yield.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to inquire of you briefly. My city, municipal court,
sure,
has asked me to introduce a bill this year, which I did, and we did, sure, have a hearing, that would add a $14 court cost onto basically any criminal violation, and then that money would be used then to pay for our public defender system within the city courts.
Okay.
Anything that's left over
you
would
have
go
a you have a municipal public defender system?
Yeah, it's what it is our legal aid of Western Missouri.
They
provide counsel to those people who are charged with jailable offenses.
So separate and apart from the states.
Yeah, because there's no state public defenders in the municipal court.
Right.
But our municipal court, for some reason that I still cannot understand, takes on some pretty serious cases, including, you know, prostitution, assaults, pretty serious assaults. Basically, anything that doesn't get sent,
right,
up to the county is handled on the,
right,
municipal level.
Okay.
And as you know, those folks facing jail, they do have a constitutional
Sixth Amendment. Yeah. Sixth
right
Amendment.
To counsel.
Right.
And so our city actually pays a contract to Legal Aid of Western Missouri to the tune of about $931,000 a,
gotcha,
year.
Gotcha.
And so rather than the taxpayers paying for it, they'd,
right,
like to see those folks who are charged with offenses,
right,
picking up that tab.
Right. Right.
I have explained to them that that's,
right,
probably a non-starter because of your personal,
yeah,
opinion, but I just wanted to float it out there and see if there was any possibility if a $14 increase in Kansas City's municipal fees got onto this bill somehow, would this bill move forward?
No, it would not.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
And I appreciate that. But I, as the Senator from Franklin said, I'm in a generous mood. Tried to help a House member pass his first bill. If you go back and tell your city if they want to eliminate the 1% earnings tax, then I'll probably not like it, but I'll go ahead and not oppose the $14 court cost. So,
thank you.
What,
Senator,
do you think,
you know,
their likelihood of accepting,
you know,
that?
I'm suspecting that the answer is going to be no on that. I'm just suspecting.
Okay.
But well, I appreciate the inquiry,
thank
Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
And if you don't mind, I would like the opportunity over the summer to take you out
love
for
to
a cold drink and talk to you
love
about
to
our city's
it's,
woes.
It's been I tell you what, Senator. I have not actually been to the Peanut since we were in law school. So, I mean, I think that would be fun to kind of come back up to Kansas City and kind of hang out.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Why don't I arrange this? I'm teaching the legislation class at the,
right,
law school again this fall.
Hey, let's, how did that go last?
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was neat?
It was
cool.
Fantastic.
Cool.
It was really great. The class is already sold out, or whatever you call it, for this fall. People are really
excited
UMKC?
About
it. Yeah, at UMKC.
Nice. Nice.
And,
did you ever think when you were in law school that you'd end up teaching?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
But you know what was really fun about it is do you remember Professor Kobach?
Yeah. Well, he came right after I left.
Yeah, so,
he
came right then. And
he's run for more offices than you and I combined.
You know, he won stuck. Did you know that?
He won one?
Yeah, he's the Secretary of State for the state of Kansas now.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. He ran for Congress, he ran for AG, he ran, and then he's the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Can he do anything on immigration as the Secretary of State?
Well, that's what he ran on. But, as you know,
no illegal is going to get a sealed corporate document.
That's right.
In the state
that's
of Kansas.
Right.
All right.
But as you know, the reason I actually am teaching this class is because he won Secretary of State.
Okay.
But most of the students who signed up for the class signed up thinking he was going to be their professor. And so when I walked in and said, "Hi, I'm not Chris Kobach," there were some looks of shock on people's faces because I think they were expecting more of his perspective and not mine. They
nice.
Ended up loving it. it. They ended up loving it. I wrote letters of recommendation for CPAC. They all went to some job fair at CPAC and handed those out.
You mean there are actually conservatives in law school?
Oh, my gosh. The whole class was conservative. It was unbelievable. But anyway.
I think you probably did fine.
So let's meet this summer. I'll talk to you about Kansas City's woes. You can meet the class,
and
we'll move on from there. Thank you, Senator.
That'd be great. See you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. Once again, I am offering an amendment. I move adoption of the amendment.
Move the adoption of the amendment. And
offering an amendment once again to do away with the age restriction on texting while driving.
Senator, can you have that amendment sent forward?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Could I just text the amendment to you?
I'm not.
Some advice for the senator from the 10th. Another option to the senator from Cape Girardeau, you could wait 1 year and 30 hours and maybe pass the... this is the removal of the... It just brackets out the 21 years of age or younger in the texting law that we passed in 2009. We've heard this a lot on the floor. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from the 22nd moves the adoption of the amendment. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Yes, I'd like to inquire of the senator from Jefferson.
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Now, Senator, I know that you have been very diligent in trying to pass this.
I'm very persistent with this. There's an old saying that goes, if you think you're persuasive, then try ordering somebody else's dog around.
And when you first brought this up, at the beginning
which means I'm not very persuasive on this issue, I think.
But when you first brought this up at the beginning of the year, one of the things that I talked to you about on the floor was the fact that there are over 200,000 people in the United States, mostly who are young people, who are dying because they're texting and they're driving. And I thought that point was really valid because we want to make sure that our young people are safe. But there are others, and I'll be the first one to admit, I do text and drive, and it's the wrong thing to do. I should not be doing that, and I take responsibility for that. But if I understand that, then other people should be responsible for it as well.
Well, the reason I push this isn't to have a lot of people pulled over. It's somewhat difficult to enforce, but I think as a state, we need to adopt a public policy that recognizes the dangers of texting and driving. And it just gets more dangerous every year. And
you're absolutely right. And how many times have you added this language in other bills this session?
I've added it to quite a few, and they end up having fiscal notes from other bills, and they end up in the senator from the 33rd's committee, and it just dies there. If you notice that green sheet we get every day, the very first bill is Senate Bill 11. It's the first bill we went to this year, and it stayed at the top of that green sheet all year.
Well, I have to tell you that, you know, there is a committee that I sit on, and your language has come up again and again and again. And I always, you know, I'm the only one from our party on this committee, but I have wanted your language to pass. And it's really kind of sorry. When I talk to my constituents from home, they absolutely cannot believe that there is a limitation on age in regards to texting. A life is a life is a life is a life. And often there's so many people in this chamber who talk about being pro-life. You know, if we take away the age limit, that is being pro-life. That is being pro-life, to take away this age limit. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Yes, I agree.
So, you know, I really hope that your amendment passes. It's very essential. Like I said, there are over 200...
In the past, in the Senate, when I've had this bill prior to this year, it is passed 31-3 every time it was in this chamber. It seems to have hit a snag this regular session than it did years prior. The problem I have with the bill... When we passed it out of the Senate initially in 2009 and again in 10, it had no age restriction on it. And an age restriction was put on in the House actually in a conference committee on a crime bill, and it happened about the same time in 2009 as we are here today, and I took what I could get at the time. If I could go back in time, I would have just not negotiated that and said I'll try next year for an all-out ban. Because it's been harder to get rid of this age restriction than it was for me to pass most bills. And
you know, Senator, do you see those ribbons on the side of the highway sometimes?
I do.
Where a child was killed or a family was
right.
killed? You know, I see those. And let me tell you, ever since I've started driving up here every week for the last 11 years, every time I see a car on the side or if I see one of those ribbons, I have a 30-second prayer that I give in my car, because that is a symbol of someone who has died on our highways. On our highways.
Yes.
When is this body, when is this General Assembly going to get the fact that every single life is important?
I think on March 12th, 2011, they will, after we adopt this amendment.
Well, I have to say, Senator, I will be voting for your amendment today.
May 12th, I'm sorry.
I will be voting for your amendment today because
thank
I think
you, sir.
It's the right thing to
thank
do.
Thank you for your support on this all year. I appreciate it.
Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
To raise a point of order that the...
State your point of order.
The amendment goes beyond the scope of the bill, which is the judiciary. And this has to do with the crime of texting. And it's not judiciary, and so I would ask... for this point of order.
The point of order will be referred to the President Pro Tem from Stoddard. Point of order has been called. Does anyone wish to speak on the point of order? Senator from the 22nd.
I'd like to speak against the point of order. This amendment is in the same section of the Senate substitute. This deals with the judiciary because this is a crime that would occur, an infraction, and it has a penalty provision. I think it's well beyond the scope of the bill or inside the scope of the bill. Inside the scope of the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Point of order has been called. Does anyone else want to speak on the point of order? Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak against the point of order.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. The title of the substitute is within the judiciary, but there are clearly provisions within this substitute that deal with crime and punishment and those decisions that are made by the judiciary. I believe there's a great deal of precedent for including such provisions within every omnibus judiciary bill that's been here since I've been here.
Further discussion on the point of order? The Senate is still in session. We are waiting on a point of order. Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'm noticing an absence of a quorum.
We have a quorum. Senator from Stoddard.
To rule on the point of order.
Proceed.
The point of order is not well taken, and as I look at the underlying bill, there are several provisions in there dealing with licensing and penalties, and so the point of order is not well taken.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment number 2? Senator from the 2nd, for what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from Jefferson?
Senator from Jefferson, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I just didn't know if you know that you know this bill you're dealing with kind of is really going to affect the youth of Missouri, and I just didn't have
it does right now.
Saw the two fine looking gentlemen that are here that are going to serve as pages of the day.
See, I don't want to target them from the time they drive to the time they're 21. I want to target everybody.
You want to target everybody?
Right.
Okay. Well, those fine little gentlemen there are going to be the pages, and one of them's name is Christian.
Which one is Christian?
He's the one in the suit. He picked out his...
It looks like a suit I bought Kellen from Costco.
I think it was the former senator from the 4th suit. He's not using it. But he was so excited to come up here because he wanted to help us pass laws today. And
Senator, do you think I could pull off sandals, shorts, a short-sleeve shirt, and a tie?
Yeah, that's Ethan.
And that's Ethan.
He wanted to wear a tie.
I think
today.
He makes it work.
He does make it work. He definitely does.
How you doing, Ethan? No, you can stay there. We're just talking about you right now.
We're just talking. But, you know, they're going to be pages for us today, and Christian's my stepson, so he's up here. And along with my lovely, lovely wife, Krista, and my father-in-law, her dad, Mr. Arthur Schaefer, they all rode the train up because they were worried about people texting and driving.
So yeah, they should. It's dangerous out there.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure if we'd have Amtrak next year, so I said you might want to ride it this year to come on up. So, but I just wanted you to know that they're here to support you and your efforts.
I'm happy to know that.
Well, great. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment number 2. Senator from Boone, for what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the Senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd. Senator from the 2nd, do you yield? Proceed.
How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing great.
Okay, so we got Ethan and who
Ethan
else?
And Christian.
And Christian. Okay, I just want to make sure we got that because I didn't hear that part. I heard Ethan's name.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear Christian. Okay.
Ethan Schaefer, which is Christian's cousin.
Yep.
And Christian, which is my stepson, is Chris's son. So.
Just want to make sure we got.
And they both already. They both already pledged to go to Mizzou.
All right, even better. Hopefully they'll be able to afford tuition by the time they get there.
Well, we know that their honorary uncle from Boone will take care of them.
I'd be happy to help you out in that regard.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from Boone.
Inquire of the Senator from the 22nd.
Senator from the 22nd, do you yield?
I yield.
Hang on just a second. Can we please have some order in the Senate chamber? It's getting very loud. This is not the House of Representatives. And let's listen to the debate between the two senators.
Are they showing off because we can't walk down the middle aisle?
They are. They're flaunting it. Flaunting what we can't do.
Flaunting. Right. Yes, Senator.
Senator, I appreciate what you're doing. I've gotten a fair amount of input on this, though. And I am curious because I think that there is a problem with distracted driving, regardless of what the distraction is. But I am kind of curious of why, if it's a form of distracted driving, whether you're texting or doing anything else or reading a text, why that's not already covered under careless and imprudent driving, which already is illegal.
Well, from my understanding, what the Highway Patrol told me, this wouldn't fall under careless and imprudent driving.
Sure, because distracted driving absolutely falls under careless and imprudent driving.
Okay. Well, I think that we need to make sure this is such an epidemic right now. This isn't the same as somebody eating cereal while they're driving a car.
Well, but that raises the question, because what I've heard 87%
of people admit to texting and driving.
Yeah.
I think as a state, we need to adopt a public policy, whether they can still get a careless and imprudent ticket, to say that this, as a state, we find dangerous. And if we don't address it, 37 other states have addressed it. The federal government has bills that address it, and they withhold federal highway money if we don't do something.
But, I mean, my point is, I think it is addressed already under careless and imprudent driving, which includes distracted driving. But what I've heard from some of my constituents is, okay, it is an issue, but it's a distracted driving issue.
That's
not necessarily
issue.
Specifically to texting, because
if we're going to pass
a statute that says you can't read a text while you can drive,
right.
Then are we going to pass a statute that says you can't read a billboard while you're driving, or you can't adjust your radio? And truly, where does it end? Because,
well, much like your amendment yesterday, where you wanted to go after a specific group, people that shake babies,
right.
Under the age of five.
Absolutely.
Because you saw that as an issue that was outside of the law that...
Well, because the current punishment is disproportionate to the crime. And what my amendment yesterday tried to do before it was stopped by the Senator Clay was to make the punishment more appropriate with the crime, which is different than creating a new crime when arguably there's already a statute that doesn't...
We already have a statute on this right now.
Right.
But what we do is we target people from 15 and a half whenever they get the permit to 21.
Right, because that's when you're acquiring your driving skills. I mean, that's when you're learning, and so I understand your initial legislation in that regard. But kind of the issue that's been raised with me by several of people that I've heard from is, you know, what's next? What are we going to dictate next? Especially when we already have coverage for distracted driving. I just wanted to raise that point with you, Senator.
I understand that perspective. I mean, if somebody can give me language that is in with the distracted driving statutes, but can target people that are texting while driving because it is such an epidemic in this country, then I'd be okay with that. But I haven't got any language like that. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 26th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the Senator from Cole?
Senator?
I'm sorry, excuse me, the Senator from Boone. I'm sorry.
Senator from Boone, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
I appreciated your... are we ready to go? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I appreciated your comments, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I wanted to just kind of pick your legal brain for a minute, because I think you and I are on the same page with this issue. You know, the issue of what comes next. You know, what law do we create on top of law that's already in existence to be on top of another law? How many layers of law do we finally end up with if we draw this to its logical conclusion? So I appreciated that comment. But what I really want to talk to you about is, you are an attorney, right?
I am.
Okay. Let's talk about what happens if a person, if the law says you can't text and drive, and I'm driving along, and I'm using my phone,
mm-hmm.
or I'm looking at the date in my calendar, all right?
Well, or maybe you're looking at a GPS device that is on your dashboard,
uh-huh.
that is coming to you. I don't know where that would fall in this, but you're looking at something. Whether it's your phone, because you're getting a call,
sure.
You're making a call, you're not texting.
Right. It rings.
Right.
I pick it up. I look at the face.
Mm-hmm.
Just at that time, a police officer sees me looking at the face of my phone.
Yes.
And thinks that I'm texting.
Right.
Okay. He or she pulls me over,
mm-hmm.
and says, you know, sir, I've pulled you over for texting while driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, truthfully, I say, no, I was not texting while driving. I was looking at the face of my phone to see who was on the caller ID to determine whether or not I wanted to answer the call.
Mm-hmm.
With us, that happens
frequently, whether or not you're going to answer the call based on who
is. Well, now, I would never admit to that, but I have heard that some legislators look at their caller ID before they answer.
We get a lot of lobbyist calls.
Yeah. And so from a legal standpoint, okay, where are the officer... The officer has good intentions. We're not calling...
Well, I'd say it goes beyond good intentions. I'd say at that point, the officer probably has probable cause to stop you.
Sure, yeah. And so, where do we stand, myself and the officer, if I say, officer, I was not texting? What would be a reasonable next action for the officer to take?
I think you're right. You'd probably write you a ticket for texting because the officer reasonably, within his reasonable scope of discretion, saw you looking at the screen of your phone. And as I understand the provision, it's not just typing a text, but reading a text also would fall under that. And it really, as you point out, would be virtually impossible to know if somebody was reading a text or just looking at their phone to see if they're getting a call.
Sure.
And you can't fault the officer.
No.
Because the officer has to follow what's in the statute book and do reasonably what they see. But when you get the officer who is going to testify once you're charged with the citation of driving while texting, you say, well, I drove by him, looked at him, he was holding his phone, he was looking at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So then I guess it would be incumbent on you and your defense to bring in your cell phone records and show that exactly at that time, if you could in fact establish that you were receiving a call at that moment.
Or using the GPS function.
But I'll tell you, there's probably a question. When you're looking at your phone and you're looking at the number that comes in, that is a text.
It is.
I mean, that is a body of text mm-hmm. on your phone screen with information.
How about when my phone, because my phone, and I'm sure you have something similar, phones nowadays do everything except cook your breakfast.
Sure, a BlackBerry or an iPhone.
Sure.
It's indistinguishable between calls and emails and everything else. It's all there on the same screen.
Right. And so if they could say that even a caller ID would be text, okay, what about what if I'm using the GPS function
sure.
that's in my phone? Because then what I'm looking at is a map. It's not text. It's a map.
Right, but I mean, text in the normal, Webster's dictionary term, text is just written information on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, arguably, if you're looking at GPS information, I would think that would be a text.
Okay. So you're thinking that what might happen for a person to offer as their defense that they might have to bring their phone records into the court and show that they were not receiving or sending any type of text or email or anything that has text on it at that moment.
Well, true, but I think there's an ambiguity because arguably, depending on the position of the prosecutor, because there's some ambiguity here, the prosecutor may say, okay, it was a call, not an email, for example, therefore I don't think you were reading a text.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a real argument to say you're looking at information on your phone and there are words on there. I mean, it's the definition of a text.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter that it says, John Smith, 1-800-whatever, or whoever calls you, as opposed to an email from, John Smith saying, let's go to lunch. I don't know that legally there's a distinction between those two things.
So I wonder if maybe effectively what would be happening upon the passage of this amendment is we would basically be banning the use of cell phones in the car. Because if you
I think as a practical purpose, that really is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But you get into issues if you do that because a lot of phones now have Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So you're not holding anything, you're not looking at it. So that would be outside, I think.
Sure. Now, one of the things that I'm a little bit concerned about, and again, not to cast any aspersions on our police officers, okay? But it just seems within the normal context of human behavior that a police officer, if they're pulling somebody over for texting while driving, and the person says, officer, I was not texting, it doesn't seem beyond the realm of possibility that officer might then say, well, let me see your phone. In your legal opinion,
mm-hmm.
would the officer then have the authority to take your phone and begin looking through the functions of your phone to see if indeed you had been texting?
Well, that's a good, that actually is a pretty good question. Because, I mean, that's like a law, yeah, that's like a law school exam question. Because arguably, they can ask. Because they can ask all they want.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ask, will you do this, and you volunteer, there's no issue.
Right.
But the question arises, can I look at your phone? And you say no. The problem is now you have probable cause in plain view that that phone has been used in the commission of a crime, which is driving while texting.
Uh-huh.
In which case, you know, you have to have a warrant under some circumstances before you could say look at the phone, but not under all. Because
yeah.
if the phone is used in plain view in the commission of a crime, then you've got a different issue. And yeah, that how that would shake out in interpretation of the court in, is a very good question. But I would say, arguably, they, unless there was some clearly established prohibition against it, I think they could take the phone and look at it.
So I, what you're saying is I may have some future as a consultant at law schools to help write...
at least writing the exams.
Law exams?
Yeah, if you want to confuse law students, I think you're going in the right direction.
Great, great, I like that. Okay, and so you actually led to where I was going to go next, and that is, you know, do they have the authority to make you turn your phone over to them? Because, you know, I'm just thinking we have a privacy issue here, because I don't know how it is for you, but I know that for myself and probably many other people, because our phones are capable of doing so many things nowadays, really, there's quite a bit of private information in those phones.
Yeah, I mean, most people's biggest fear is that they lose their BlackBerry or their iPhone
right.
and somebody else picks it up.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have a security code on there to open it up and somebody can open it up and look at it, most people have a lot of private information on those devices.
Yeah, and you know, privacy, I think, is something that we have to be very careful of, you know, getting in the way of people being secure in their privacy.
Right.
And I'm just afraid that what we're doing here, and I think you've made a good... you've done a good job of kind of pointing some of this out, is that what we're doing here, probably with unintended, you know, we don't intend to, but we're once again getting into these unintended consequences where not only are we going to create a horrible situation in the courtroom, we're going to create a horrible situation as far as being able to prove this or that, but then on top of it all, we create the possibility where a person's privacy could really be violated because of what can be seen in a person's phone nowadays.
Right.
And so I appreciate your thoughts on this. And
you make a good point. And I think that the Center from 22nd has the best of intentions. And
I
think
do
that,
too.
And I'm sure you agree with me, distracted driving is a problem.
Absolutely.
But there are a whole host of issues on this that really would need to be addressed, at least from my perspective.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Well, thanks for your help on that. Mr. President? Excuse me, I'm not done yet. Senator from the first.
Senator from Franklin?
May I inquire of our retired sheriff, the Senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator.
Senator?
And I'm not going to ask you how you're going to vote on this. I don't want to put you on the spot. I want to pick your professional brain. We've just heard from an attorney about some of the legal ambiguities of a law like this and some of the potential pitfalls and the can of worms that can be opened with something like this. In your opinion, as a law enforcement official, okay, now you were a sheriff, right?
Correct.
That means that you were the highest ranking law enforcement officer in your entire county.
Correct.
Okay. Now, just in your personal or professional opinion, do you think the scenario that I've drawn out, is it at least within the realm of possibility that a law enforcement officer in good faith pulls you over because they are required to enforce the law, and they see you looking at your phone, and so they pull you over and they say, sir, I'm pulling you over for texting while driving.
Right.
And the person says, officer, respectfully, I was not texting, nor was I reading a text. I was simply looking at my phone to make sure I had it turned on. Is it at least within the realm of possibility that that law enforcement officer might at that point say, let me see your phone?
Well, technically, the answer to that would be, should be not. Number one, the probable cause he would have, because you're looking at your phone driving down the road, which goes back to what the senator from Boone said, the probable cause would be there. For to take anything of yours, you're talking a search warrant situation. So if I walked up to you and I want to say, I want to take your phone, I want to look through it, I would have to have a court order to do that. I would not be able to pull that out of your car and just take it and start going through it on that. The other thing, even if you made the stop and there was a probable cause stop, which we do in law enforcement, you still have to prove a crime was committed before you can take any kind of action. So the question then becomes, for a law enforcement officer, how do I determine where you committed a crime or not? I don't know you truly did text or you didn't text. So how do you go about that through the system to be able to prove that? I think it would be very difficult for officers to make that decision. Now, I suppose the scenario would be if you had your can or your mobile phone up here and you're texting and the law enforcement officer behind you and he actually sees you doing that crime.
Right.
Different story. Then he can testify to the facts of that case.
Sure.
But if I walk up to you and you say, I'm not texting, I don't know what my next move is. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I have no other authority at that point as a law enforcement officer, unless the courts or unless there was some legislation that give me that authority. But I think that is a different issue to go down when you start.
Well, you know, the senator from Jefferson had mentioned to me the other day that he was actually driving alongside a person who was just absolutely texting their heart out. Okay. So I guess in a situation like that, if an officer is able to just absolutely physically see that a person's got their thumbs gone wild on their phone, that would be a situation where they would have some degree of proof. Okay. Right. And that's not my concern. When those kind of things happen, well, sure, that's a clear-cut case of violating the law. One of the things that I'm afraid, well, actually, there's two things about this legislation, and I agree with what the senator from Boone said. I hold no malice towards the senator from Jefferson. I think he really is trying to do what he believes is the right thing. I think he's got a good heart towards this. I'm just afraid of the unintended consequences, and there's two things that I'm mostly concerned with. One is what we've been talking about, and that is how do we have proof? How do you prove that someone was texting or reading a text, okay, without the kind of situation where you're just kind of driving right alongside them and you absolutely see them doing it? Okay, so we've kind of talked about that a little bit.
Right.
The other is this issue of privacy, okay? Because, you know, I have a lot of law enforcement friends. My wife's side of the family is almost entirely law enforcement. So every family gathering that I go to, every Thanksgiving, I'm surrounded by law enforcement officers. My best friend from high school is a police officer. I mean, I'm surrounded by law enforcement. It makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes. But
why
around.
Why is that, Senator?
Well, I don't want to tell you. Okay. But I'm around law enforcement people all the time. And so I get a lot of feedback from law enforcement folks, right? And one of the things that I've heard from law enforcement officers, which I certainly don't, I don't want to act like I'm speaking on behalf of law enforcement officers, I'm just telling you what I personally have heard from a number of law enforcement officers, is that they don't like this. They don't like this idea of adding another layer of law on top of law that we already have. Now, I don't know that any of our law enforcement lobbyists or any of our official law enforcement folks would be able to say that publicly. I'm just telling you what I hear at the dining room table from law enforcement people and some friends and all that, is that they don't like this idea. They don't like this idea because they don't like to be put in a position where they could be looked at as intimidating other people. You know what I mean? Because if you're required to enforce the law and you see somebody driving along and they have a phone in their hand, if you're going to, in good faith, execute the law, well, you need to pull that person over. Right. But then if you cannot with all certainty say that you saw them texting or that you were able to see the screen of their phone and you know that what they were looking at was indeed text and not, you know, a GPS or maybe just looking to see if their phone was turned on, you know, that when you don't have something that's black and white, this is just what I'm hearing, and I'm not even going to ask you your opinion on this because I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm just telling you that this is what I'm hearing from individual law enforcement people, is that they don't want this to become the law, because they don't want to be put in this ambiguous situation where they're having to try to determine whether or not a person did something, and they can't tell whether or not they actually did it. So then they're in a quandary when they're on patrol and they see somebody with a phone in their hand, and they have to say, oh my goodness, what, you know, do I pull this person over? Do I, you know, what do I do? I mean, and so we're putting our law enforcement people in a bad situation, okay? And then, you know, and I may have to inquire of the of my good friend, the senator from the 14th, you know, because I know that she's a champion for people within the minority communities. And you know, one of the things that police officers have told me is that they don't want to be looked at as an intimidator or an intimidating factor. And so, you know, I it goes beyond just the good thing that I think the senator from Jefferson is trying to do.
Three senators standing. Senator from the 22nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd love to debate this more, but I have to get home to a visitation, and I would withdraw my amendment.
The amendment will be sent back. Further discussion on the substitute. Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the senator from Jefferson?
Senator from Jefferson, do you yield?
I yield.
And I appreciate it.
I was supposed to leave at noon. My best friend's dad passed away a few days ago. Takes me 2.5 hours to get home. Starts at 3. So if we can keep this real brief.
Yeah, I just want to ask you two questions.
Okay.
First, with the way this is in law currently,
right.
It affects those under 18?
Under 21. 21 and younger.
21 and younger.
Right.
And what's the penalty?
It's an infraction.
It's an infraction.
It's much like a seatbelt ticket.
Okay. Any points assessed with it?
I think there's 2 points where it's different than a seatbelt ticket.
Okay.
And it's up to a $200 fine at the discretion of the judge.
Okay. And so this body made the assertion that part of the penalty would be 2 points.
Right.
And then why do you think that was the way we came down on that?
I actually meant 2 years ago in 2009, I meant to mirror it like the seatbelt ticket, not offer points. Mm-hmm. I drafted it wrong.
Okay.
Quite honestly.
Okay. I guess where I was going with that is generally that when we assess points against some type of violation, we do it because we're concerned about the safety of those on the road,
right,
and those that you know, might be breaking the law and incurring that infraction. Okay, so I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
For the inquiry. I think that covers it for me. All right. Appreciate it. Safe travels. Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the senator from...
Senator from Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Do you yield to the senator from the 1st?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes. Sorry, I was actually
texting.
He yields, Senator,
you may proceed.
Were you texting?
I was, yeah.
Texting while sitting?
Yeah, there are wheels on the chair, but I was...
But you weren't in motion. So what, it wouldn't be a moving violation then, would it?
No.
No.
I was very careful.
Where I was going with the senator from Jefferson was... just trying to establish some type of pattern as far as why and how we do things in here. You know, for the last couple of years, I've been trying to make the point that often when we look at an infraction and we decide that it warrants having points assessed because of that, you know, breaking of the law, that we do that as a body because we want to address people that have bad driving habits. And because of those habits, if they continue to have bad driving habits, they could accumulate a number of points over an 18-month period and actually lose their driving privileges. But I guess the real point was, in the event of this texting law that we passed, there's a 2-point assessment there. Because I believe the body believes that it's dangerous to do it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just wanted to, you know, maybe point out a little bit of hypocrisy in that what I tried to do yesterday was say that for a moving violation that's dangerous, actually running a red light.
I voted with you on that.
Yeah, that many of our colleagues in here decided that it shouldn't be a concern about the safety of that issue, you know, and the idea of there are many examples of people getting multiple, dozens. As a matter of fact, I even heard of one that had over 100 tickets for running red lights that were taken by the camera, okay, and never had any consequence for that except the $100 fine. But the intent of this legislature is to get dangerous drivers off the road when they have this type of pattern. Yet, I couldn't get my colleagues to agree that we should have a penalty for that of 2 points, so that we have these habitually bad drivers with these bad records, that they lose their privilege, you know, because it's, they're making the roads dangerous. They're making those intersections dangerous for other drivers.
The point assessment program and all of the traffic safety laws are supposed to have the underlying policy consideration of making it safer for those who follow the rules. And certainly, I don't know, I don't have statistics, but I would think a large number of the accidents that occur on roadways occur in intersections, particularly where red lights are. So
sure.
I would think there should be a real interest in addressing that concern.
Yeah, and all through this process, my goal has been to get dangerous drivers off the roads, okay, and address safety. And we hear about safety all the time. This issue that we just talked about was about safety. I don't want to drag that on. Senator from Jefferson pulled his amendment. Senator, I talked to you about an amendment that I would like to offer to your bill that addresses an issue that I've been working on behalf of a number of constituents in my district for a number of years. And through the process, this issue has evolved. I think that when I started the process, I think that what I was trying to accomplish in statute went too far, you know, as far as determining how these situations were handled, what kind of discretion you know, judges had, and how the issues within family law and family court were really affected. I think that I tried to change too much. I think I tried to go too far. And what I'd like to do is talk to you briefly about this amendment and what I'm trying to do and address the cases that I think it will affect.
Okay.
And then I know that we have many in this body that are very learned in these areas and might be able to give me some feedback. But what I'm really trying to do is take a very rifle approach at this and deal with just a very few percentage of the cases and give them some equity in the way that system works. Okay.
Sure.
So what this amendment would do, and it would affect those that are going through the family court, going through, you know, divorces. Okay. And it would affect just two areas. First, it would codify in statute the idea that there has to be proof of income as far as determining the income of the parties involved. Okay? And I know that a lot of judges do this already, okay, that you know, they're very mindful that this is fair and equitable, okay? But it has been brought to my attention in some cases it's not done. So all this does is codify in statute that you have to determine what their real income of the parties involved are. Okay, that's the one thing it does. Then the other thing that it does is it allows more discretion, actually more discretion to the judges on when you have cases where there is joint custody involved. Okay, where you have two parents that want to continue to do the right thing by their children, even though they are splitting up, but where they have only joint custody, okay, and in many of these cases, it's right down the middle, 26 weeks, 26 weeks. Okay? And what I'm doing with this amendment is to make a change to the Form 14 that they use in these situations that would allow the judge to give up to 50% visitation credits where they are currently capped at, I believe, 18%. They have a little bit of discretion, but they can go to 18%. So what's happening is, for a parent that's not the custodial parent deemed by the court, that they can only get, if they have the children for 26 weeks out of the year, they can only get up to 18% visitation credits, and it would deal with that issue. And this amendment deals with that issue in a couple of different places, so that when the parents have the children, you know, equally or near equal time, it would address only those cases. I don't want to give any leeway for deadbeat dads or whatever to get out of paying their child support. This deals only in cases where there's joint custody.
Okay, I know that you have shown me this. I've looked at a lot of words on a lot of pages the last few days, like all of us have. A question that I have, and I'll, are you distributing, or has it been distributed?
It's been distributed.
Okay, I'll look for it in my folder. Or was it just this morning?
Here. Gil?
One question I would have is the court is allowed to impute income to someone today who might not be earning but who has the capacity to be earning. I want to make sure that that would not be affected. Thank you.
Well, I would point you to page 6. And to line 6. And I certainly don't address in that language the ability of the court to impute income.
Well, okay. Let me ask this other.
Which I think is somewhat of a travesty anyway. But I'm not really trying to deal with that. I'm trying to set a standard that says to the court, you know, we ought to really confirm if you're going to use income as a way to establish what the child support's going to be, then we ought to use some factual numbers. Okay, if the court decides they want to impugn income on somebody, I think that is a different issue.
Well, and today they can't. And the issue there is the deadbeat parent who could work.
Right.
Able-bodied, no reason not to, except they don't want at the time that this determination is made to show income and have that child support obligation. They may go back to work later and keep going off payroll when that determination gets made. And there's also, you know, let me raise another potential concern. And the policy place that you're trying to go, I'm with you on. I just want to have a conversation as we do it and look at the language together as we do it. You know, where I live, it's different in some ways from where you live. And occasionally you have the parent, usually it's the dad, who's paying some child support and doesn't want to have reported income that they would show so that that's considered when child support is assessed. And you'd be surprised how many of those dads, I mean, this sounds like a stretch, but it actually happens commonly, start doing odd jobs for cash, cutting firewood, doing whatever. So when they go to court, on paper and on documentation, there's not enough income to have a substantial child support award there. But if you can allow testimony to come in, that others might have firsthand knowledge that this work was done and that this payment was made, and that that party is trying to avoid the consideration of that income for the calculation of child support, the way it is today allows the court to consider that non-documented evidence.
Well, let me ask you this, and the way this language currently is in this amendment, has it been your experience that that scenario that you just laid out, that's a dad or a mom, either way?
Yeah, it could go.
That has gone through the process and gone through the agreement to have joint custody. You know, somebody that has made the investment and said that I want to be in my children's lives.
I see your bill as having two components. One is documentation of income for that to be considered.
Right.
The other is the adjustment for the period of time. And I was talking about the documentation.
No, I appreciate that. But I guess I think they are somewhat connected in that if we are crafting law or a change to law, you know, based on, you know, this scenario that's out there and it is something that actually happens. And I don't discount that one bit that a guy might quit working, you know, so that, and he would have an income much lower, you know, and do that through the period of this, you know, going through a nasty divorce, okay, just so that he doesn't have to, you know, pick up his end of, you know, what it costs to raise his children, right? I don't discount that one bit that could happen. Okay, but what I'm saying is when you have a situation where you have a father and mother that want to have joint responsibility and even physical custody of their children and, you know, establish two households and have them be, you know, relatively equal in all respects, it doesn't seem to me that that guy would be, you know, trying to falsify his income.
And I don't think that was, I was reading during a few of your words there, so I may have missed it. But I the scenario.
I want to make this as narrow as possible so that it only deals with a very small subsection, small subgroup.
Let me raise a possibility if I could.
Let
me raise this possibility. Okay. And I know that you have been trying to narrow the focus on this, and I know that your intent is something I agree with here.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a bill this year?
Yes.
Did it come to my committee?
I don't recall it was a bill last year. I don't know if I introduced it.
Recall this being in my committee this year.
What?
But
did I introduce it this year? I did. But you don't know if it came to judiciary. Probably general laws, maybe.
Okay, I don't recall having it.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to consider an amendment to the amendment that would keep your adjustment up to 50%
and take out the
parenting time and allow us to have some time to evaluate the documentation part, just because you might be surprised how often, at least down where I live, the paying parent starts doing the odd jobs for cash, and really the only way to get an accurate assessment of what the child support obligation in court should be is to have that testimony from someone who has been a witness to the fact that that's being done. And I think that where you're trying to go, your motives are right. I'm concerned about the unintended consequence in some of these other cases. And the one that loses out there is the child who's not getting the support that maybe should be paid.
Yeah, I'd be receptive to that.
Okay.
To take out the language as far as documentation of income, right?
Right. And we would
just leave the portion that deals with giving the judge, in these where there's joint custody, more discretion, you know, by allowing the visitation credit to go up to 50%.
So then would the only language you need to keep be paragraph 11 on page 8?
And, and it's related also to on paragraph 6, starting line 14.
Okay. Paragraph, what page are you on?
I'm sorry, page 6, starting at line 14.
Okay. If we could get that amendment to the amendment drafted, if you wanted to withdraw this, I would commit not to close on the bill until we just got a new amendment and you had an opportunity to offer it.
We could do that. I haven't offered the amendment yet.
Oh, you haven't even offered it? All right. If we can do that, I know there are other amendments out here and that could keep us moving. Thank you very much,
thank
Senator.
You. Thank you.
Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Is it? Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The hours are winding down. You know, I do have an amendment, but I wanted to visit with you a little bit. This is an amendment that was actually placed on another bill earlier and over here and has gone through. I know it's been placed on several bills in the House, so I know it does have support.
Is this your Attorney General?
Attorney General for contingency fee funds.
As we're having the conversation, I will say to the body that I believe it was after we put this bill together, your language did pass out of the committee.
Yes.
So had that happened prior to me putting this omnibus bill together, I probably would have been willing to include it in the substitute to start with. I do want to ask, I think that another bill has, at least one other bill has a version of this on it. Is this language exactly consistent with what the latest version is everywhere else?
I know there was a mix-up with one of the versions that was put on a bill over in the House yesterday. It was the wrong LR number. It was actually the middle of the road. This is the language that the Attorney General and I have worked together on.
So is this without the cap?
No, this does have the caps.
Okay. Did you put the without cap language on something else yesterday?
Pardon? Yes. There was a bill in the House that had the cap language in it.
Okay.
An amendment that had the cap language in it. Okay. And the cap language was what the AG's office agreed to. Actually, we went in there with a little higher number, and he said 25% should be all right. And that's what this has.
Okay.
So,
yeah, as I said, we passed it out of committee. So,
and I did hear the senator from Boone address that very same issue earlier, you know, saying that this does help clarify, lays out parameters for the Attorney General's office to abide by, gives him some political cover. I heard that used earlier, too. But it does set up parameters for which they can use contingency fee funds contracting. So, anyway, at this time, I'd like to, Mr. President.
Senator from Lewis.
I'd like to offer an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Would you like to move for the adoption?
And I would move for the adoption of...
Explain your amendment.
The amendment is what we've actually passed through this body as another amendment onto another bill. It's actually been put on. It is the Attorney General contingency fee contracting, a transparency. And with that...
Senator from Lewis moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion?
Mr. President.
Senator from Boone, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire, Senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, so the language you've got is what we've already passed out.
It is, and it is the correct language, not what was put on
over
the bill
house.
In the House.
Right, okay. And your amendment doesn't have anything to do with elk?
This one does not.
Okay.
This one does not.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
On the motion of the Senator from Lewis, does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted Senate Amendment Number 3. Senator from Lewis.
I would love to inquire from the senator from Clay, but I see she's not here. I could talk briefly if I could have the doorman, please.
The doorman, please seek the senator from Clay.
I know the senator from Clay has been working with the sheriffs up in Adair. I'd speak to the bill, Mr. President.
Great, sir.
On page 55, there's a little section in there, and I know that the senator from Clay has been working with the sheriff in Adair County. And we've actually, in a lot of our rural areas, we have trouble getting help, mental help, people to mental help, the hospitals that need to take care of them. And been working around this issue to try to allow funding for transportation to come from other sources. And she's been working on that. I do have an amendment that addresses that issue. Basically, it's a technical amendment. It's so short, I won't even ask for the waiver of the reading. I'd like to send it forward.
Send your amendment forward.
And move for
Madam
the adoption.
Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 4, offered by Senator Munslinger to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 111, page 55, section 632.312, line 23 of said page, by inserting at the end of said line the following, quote, reimbursement from the state for actual costs, except for allowable mileage expenses, shall be subject to appropriations, close quote.
Senator from Lewis.
Like I said, basically it's a technical clarification at the end of that section there on page 55. But it does state in there on page 55 that it could be paid by the state, but the real intent is to be paid by not-for-profits and some other groups. But if by chance there would be state funding, this help clears it up. And at this time I see the senator from Clay is here, and I would love to inquire of her.
Senator from Clay, do you yield to the Senator from Lewis?
I do.
She yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I understand that this is an issue that you worked on, and I am greatly indebted to you for working with the people from Adair County to get this included into this bill. But I do feel that this little amendment here kind of straightens out the tail end of that section.
I fully support your amendment. It's the right thing to do. It clarifies the language. Just so that the body knows, that former Representative Gary Marble, that now works for one of our congressmen, said that they had a problem in the rural parts of Adair County particularly. I mean,
all of our rural areas.
All of our rural counties have the problem where that they get somebody on a 96-hour hold, and the facilities that are in the area really are not capable of dealing appropriately with them. And right now, our statutes didn't take into account that that problem would arise. We have private individuals that want to be able to put money over into a fund so that there's funding mechanisms to get those people transported to the right place, but there's no statutory mechanism for the sheriff to receive those funds. And hey, if we've got some private folks that want to pay for something that up to this point the taxpayers have been footing the bill, I'm for it. And
me
so
too.
We did it. Yeah. And so your amendment further clarifies appropriately that this is anything that would come from any public funding source is all just subject to appropriations. It's a good amendment. I should have gotten it in there to begin with, but it's right. And that area you and I are kind of oddly enough going to share, because although it's in your Senate district, it was brought to us by what is your former congressman, which will now be territory covered by my congressman. So it's a messed up deal, but anyway, it's the right thing to do and helps take a burden off the taxpayers.
I just want to thank you for working on this issue. And
sure enough, I appreciate your Adair County Sheriff actually bringing this to our attention. It's a creative way to privately solve a problem that has been solely the burden of the taxpayers up to this point and get the people help that they need in a more expeditious fashion.
We need to do more of that, don't
yep, we? Yep, we do. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for your inquiry.
Sure. Senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We're back on the motion to Senator from Lawrence. Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
Yes, it has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Would you I move it? For the adoption.
Move for the adoption and explain the amendment.
This is a bill that we passed out of the Senate committee, or out of the Senate. It requires that on condemnation commissions that one of the panel members be a real estate professional. It applies only to St. Louis, St. Louis County, and Jackson County. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Senator from the 4th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 10th, are you seeking recognition?
I am. Would you like to know why?
I would appreciate that, Senator.
I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Hi, Senator. I just wanted to make sure that for the clarification of the body, everyone knew what you were doing. There was some confusion over here because there's about 30 things going on. This is the condemnation thing that would require a real estate professional to be on the board or the commission. One of the three, it is for City of St. Louis, St. Louis County, and Jackson County.
That's
is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And this is the one that Jackson County didn't ask for, but they don't have a problem with it. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
We're on the motion of the Senator from the 4th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Clay.
May I inquire the Senator from the 4th?
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, what are you doing again?
What we're doing here, and we've already passed this bill once, for the condemnation commission in St. Louis County and Jackson County. Currently, there are three commissioners appointed by a circuit judge. He can put whoever he wants on there. This amendment would require that one of those three commissioners either be a real estate appraiser or a real estate broker.
Got it. Thank you.
On the motion, Senator from the 4th, does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from the 4th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted Senate Amendment Number 5. Now we're back on the motion to the Senator from the Lawrence. Senator from Lawrence.
Mr. President, may I request unanimous consent to stand at ease for a moment?
Hearing no objection, we will stand at ease. Senator's back in session. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask this bill be laid on the informal calendar.
It will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the House, and if there are, would you please have those read?
There are messages in the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the Speaker has appointed the following conference committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 430 as amended. Representatives Burleson, Scheller, Dennison, Ellinger, and Jones of the 63rd. Also, the House refuses to adopt Senate substitute as amended for House Bill 458 and requests that the Senate recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, the House has taken up and passed House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 48, an act relating to utilities, with House Amendments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, emergency clause adopted, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Also, the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77, an act relating to roadway signs, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Also, the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 54. Also, the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 65. Also, the House refuses to recede from its position on Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 70 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the governor?
There are messages from the governor.
Would you please have it read?
Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the governor.
May 12, 2011, to the Senate of the 96th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointment to office made by me and submitted to you for your advice and consent. Thomas Springer, 49 Forest Glen, Kirkwood, St. Louis County, Missouri, 63122, as a member of the Missouri State Board of Accountancy for a term ending January 1, 2013, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Sandra Thomas, withdrawn. Respectfully submitted, Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I move that the appointment of Thomas Springer be returned to the governor per his request.
Heard the motion from the Senator. Is this a motion? Senator from Stoddard. Anyone wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none. Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted the motion from the Senator from Stoddard. Senator from the 23rd.
President, would you recognize the Senator from the 5th on a privilege motion on Senate Bill?
Senator from the 5th.
Thank
Senate
you.
Senate Bill
48. Mr. President, I move that the Senate refuse to concur in House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 48 as amended and request the House to recede from its position or, failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from the 5th. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion?
Mr. President, there are some things added to that particular bill that I don't think will give it the opportunity to pass through, and I'd like to have the opportunity to have discussion and remove a couple of items.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator, you recognize the close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th has moved that Senate Bill 48 be sent to conference. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted that motion. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize the Senator from Phelps for a privilege motion on House Bill 458?
Senator from Phelps.
Move the Senate refuse to recede from its position on Senate substitute for House Bill number 458 as amended and grant the House a conference thereon.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Phelps. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Phelps has moved that Senate Bill 458 be sent to conference. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted the motion of the Senator from Phelps. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary, see if there are conferees, and if there are, would you please have those read?
There are conferees. Madam Secretary, please read the conferees.
Conference Committee appointments on Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 70 with House Amendment 1 and House Amendment 2. Senators Schaefer, Brown, Richard, Keveney, and Green. Also on Senate substitute for House Bill 458 as amended, Senators Brown, Munslinger, Schaefer, Callahan, and Justice.
Senator 23rd.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
On the order of business of announcements. Senator from Howell.
Your Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight will meet immediately upon adjournment in Hearing Room 1. And then also the Procrastinators Club was going to meet tonight, but we decided to wait till next week. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. On your order of business announcements. The Chair has an announcement. 2 o'clock, Pi Day, my office. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2:30 p.m. this day.
You heard the motion of the Senator from the 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess until 2:30 today.